Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Welcome again to the Growing in Grace podcast. Now in our 20th year, I'm Mike Kapler, and with me, well, you might know him as Mr. Breeze, but he's so cool that some have called him Mr. Freeze.
Just don't call me Mr. Bill.
You know, it's funny you brought that up. Mr. Bill from the old Saturday Night Live, like from decades ago when the show was funny. Mm-hmm. Because on the last program, I almost brought it up. But really? On our last program, you said something, and I can't remember what it was, but it made me think about John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd doing that cheeseburger restaurant thing.
Cheeseburger.
You have to YouTube it for those of you youngsters out there, but they're just... You know, people would want to order a hamburger. No hamburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. They'd always order a Coke, and they'd say, no Coke, Pepsi.
I haven't seen that one in years. Definitely got to YouTube that one. Yeah, those were the good old days. That was, Saturday Night Live was good back then. And Mr. Bill, yeah. For some reason, we were talking about Mr. Bill the other day in my family, and I do not remember why either. It's funny, the... references come up and you laugh about them, but you can't remember why. But that's okay. The main thing is that we talk about the good news, and fortunately, still at this point in my life, I still remember it. The good news, the gospel.
Yeah, I hear you. I came across a Rodney Dangerfield clip on Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
It just popped up on my smart TV, and so I thought I'm going to click on this because it said something about how he had Johnny in stitches.
Yeah.
At one point, something Rodney said, Johnny jumped out of his chair, kind of bent over, and was walking backwards away from the desk. He was laughing so hard. He came back and was still laughing.
I've seen that one.
Those are, you know, and there's something about watching other people laugh sometimes. When somebody else, have you ever had this happen, especially at an inopportune time, like at a funeral or at church or, I don't know, just, you know, maybe a business meeting. Something happens, and then you catch somebody's eye, and you both start laughing.
Yeah.
And you can't stop. And it's just, it's really frustrating because you're practically sweating now, trying not to laugh.
And it's really inappropriate. In the setting that you're in, right?
Yes, yeah. A lot of times it can be. I'll tell you one of the funniest things, and then we'll get into our program here, sorry. One of the funniest things that ever happened, I know you had to be there, but back in the day when we were youngsters, my dad took us to a Peach Bowl game with the Iowa Hawkeyes back in the Chuck Long days.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, this hotel we were staying at is like 70 stories, and it was hard to get an elevator because the place was packed with football fans. So sometimes you would strategize, you know, if, you know, for example, if you wanted to go down, sometimes you would catch one that was going up and just go all the way up and come back down again rather than wait. Well, we got on the elevator. It was just us and another lady, and we're standing there, and you know, my younger brother, he was in his early teens or something like that. And this lady was in there with us. Well, all of a sudden, she's lunging for the buttons on the elevator. She had forgot to hit her button.
Oh.
She got on one of those things that I'm going to do this. She forgot to hit it. Coming back down or whatever. And then she was too late. And it was so funny watching her trying to push those buttons over and over again as fast as she could. And she was too late. It went past her floor. Well, unfortunately, I was looking down kind of laughing to myself, but I looked up and my brother and I, we caught our eye and we both burst out laughing. I mean, out loud.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was embarrassed
that
we were doing that, but the lady just kind of shrugged and said, story of my life. But yeah, we couldn't even hold it. We just, you know, there was probably spit flying everywhere. We were laughing so hard. I mean, you're trying to hold it in, but then it just, boom.
No, I
hear
you.
Well, last week we were talking about what is often considered by today's modern Christianity as a foundation for our belief system, and that is something Jesus said about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. People think that's Christianity 101. Well, it was really law 101, a law that is now obsolete, a law that has been replaced with something new and better, a law that was part of a covenant that was really a ministry of death and condemnation for those who were under it, the Jewish people at that time. So that was on the last program, if you need to go back and get caught up with that. But we were running out of time on this last program, so I didn't want to stretch it too long, Joel. But one thing I wanted to follow up on with that was, if you or me or any of us today want to apply any, just name one, apply any part of that Mosaic law to our lives today, again, a ministry of death and condemnation, one that was considered unprofitable, useless, the New American Standard says, the inability for it to give life, unable to give life, unable to provide righteousness. If you want to apply any law from that old obsolete covenant into your life today, then you're going to be spitting into the wind. It's not going to give you what you were seeking. It's not going to bring rightness with God. It's not going to elevate an improved morality. It's not even going to empower you to love God more or to love others more. It's not going to do any of that. Remember what Paul said to the Galatians? He'd said a lot before chapter 5 about the law and the people to whom he's writing, their lack of relationship with that law. Or at least it should be. But he said this, he said, I testify again, so he's repeating himself, I testify again to every man, every person who accepts circumcision, that he is obligated to keep the whole law. Now, he uses circumcision as the example there, but you could pick any law from the law of Moses, any commandment from that law under that covenant, and cling to it and think that it's somehow going to further you into your relationship with God and the love of God. That's not going to be the case. March Madness, kind of getting over that here at this time of the year. You're just going to be shooting air balls. You're not going to be hitting the basket. And I just wanted to point that out because there are people who still think that, well, some of the law we should try to keep. And that's where the slippery slope begins, with this mixture of what people think should be kept and what shouldn't be. When over and over again in that old law, God told the Israelites, you do it and you do all of it. But most people today don't have any clue as to what is fully contained in that law. We just kind of pick and choose a few that, I don't know, sort of subconsciously come to our mind.
Yeah, I mean, that really is it. We have a very cursory view of the law. I mean, we don't understand, you know, when Paul talked about, those who desire to be teachers of the law, but they don't even know what they're talking about. I think that's kind of what happens in the church today. We really don't have a clue what the law really was. In Deuteronomy, the Lord had commanded Moses to tell the people, take this book of the law and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. I mean, that's what the law was. It was the ministry of death and condemnation, as Paul called it. And it was used as a witness against people. The law never actually told a person, hey, you did good. You did well there. You did everything all right. But if you're going to keep the law, like you were saying, just one law, if you want to keep any one law, you're obligated to keep the whole thing. You got to do it. You got to do it all, and you got to do it all right. You got to do everything right. If you're going to add any law, in Leviticus, God said, Leviticus 18:5, we are in Leviticus last week, talking about loving the Lord your God, loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, verse 5, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. I mean, if you do them, you'll live by them. Paul quoted that a couple of times in Galatians 3:12. He's talking about how those who were under the law were under its curse. You see, there was a curse of the law. Curse is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you were under the law and you didn't do them, you were under the curse. Guess what? Everybody who was under the law was under the curse. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet, verse 12 of Galatians 3, the law is not of faith. But, and then he quotes from Leviticus, the man who does them shall live by them. Same thing in Romans 10. Where Paul had just gotten done talking about how Israel was pursuing the law, but they never attained to it. In Romans 10, verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks this way. And he goes on to talk about the word of faith that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, the contrast there is between law and faith. If you're going to live by the law, you got to live by the whole thing. You're going to live by it. If you're going to, you know, it's just, well, there's lots of different ways that it could be said, but I think Paul made it clear that the man who does them, the things of the law, shall live by them. But nobody could do it. And so he says the law is not of faith. And so it's faith is the way in Christ, of course. You know, we talk about faith, faith, faith all throughout Christianity. But then somehow we mix the law in with it, where the law is not of faith. The law is not based upon faith. The law is, if you keep it, even one law, you got to keep the whole thing. And if you break one law, you're guilty of the whole thing. Faith is simply putting your trust in somebody else, in what Christ has done, and not in your ability to keep any commandments.
Yeah, right. I mean, so we live under a totally different system. And again, as we've said before, this doesn't mean that we go out and steal. Doesn't mean we go out and murder, commit adultery. Doesn't mean we encourage one another not to love God, not to love each other. But that's what some people, that's how, because some people have been so indoctrinated with legalism instead of grace, fear instead of love, that they somehow interpret what we're saying as, well, you're just saying people can go out and, you know, do, and it won't matter. You do whatever, you know, and that isn't what we're saying at all. It's just that you can't get to where you want to go under that religious system. It was never designed for that. It was designed to increase sin, not decrease sin. So with that in mind, I think, again, the point being made here is even one law from that old covenant list of commandments, trying to live by it does not bring life. I know that sounds kind of funny, but it's true. Paul said if there was a commandment that could bring life or righteousness, then it would have been by the law.
Mm-hmm.
But God had something better in mind, and that better is Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who would remove sins, take them away, the one who could give life eternally with an eternal redemption that is gifted by grace, not by works, not by what we do. So again, we get it backwards, like I said last week. We turn it inside out, and believing in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, and beginning to understand, I think maybe this is something we can talk about possibly next week, beginning to understand more about the love that God has for you, that it's not going to change in spite of your performance and behavior. It's never up and down, God's love. It's the most consistent thing that you'll ever experience in this life once you begin to believe in that love and begin to understand it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Once that happens, it changes the way you approach people. It changes the way you approach everything. So it's not trying to do something to get a response from God, but it's really resting in His response to us.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.